This is Barbara Ridenour with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated June 3rd, 2016. We'll continue today with the obituaries. David K. Eldridge, 81 of Decatur, died Tuesday, May 31st, 2016. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Sunday, June 5th, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Monday, June 6th, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home, with burial to follow at Graceland Cemetery, in Decatur. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorials may be made to the following organizations. STARR, STARR, 3180 South Mount Zion Road, National Rifle Association, the NRA, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, or Maranatha Assembly of God of Illinois. Kathleen McCarthy Carpenter, 87, formerly of Pena and Decatur, died, currently of St. Louis, Missouri, died Sunday, May 29, 2016. Burial will be at 2:15 p.m. Monday, June 6th, at Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery in St. Louis, Missouri. The family of Kathleen Carpenter is being served by Moran and Goebel Funeral Home of Decatur. Larry Lee Fox, Montgomery, 79, of Chestnut, died Thursday, June 2, 2016. Graveside services will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, June 6th, at Liana Cemetery in Chestnut. Military honors will be accorded by the Mount Pulaski American Legion Post 447. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Vonderleith Living Center of Safe Haven Hospice Care. Fricky Calvert Schrader Funeral Home of Mount Pulaski is entrusted with arrangements. Bradley Lynn Bubba Mathis, 54, of Strasburg, died Wednesday, June 1, 2016. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, June 6th, at the Strasburg United Methodist Church. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Sunday in Howanyaki Funeral Home, Strasburg, and also from 9 to 10 a.m. Monday in the church. Burial will be in Richland Cemetery, Strasburg, Illinois. Memorials may be made to the Strasburg Volunteer Fire Department or Haven House / Journey for Jordan. Darlene Hawes, 89, of Pena, died Wednesday, June 1st, 2016. Services will be at 6 p.m. today in McCracken Dean Funeral Home, Pena. Visitation is 1 hour before services. Burial will be at 3:30 p.m. Monday at Prairie Repose Cemetery, Amboy. Memorials may be made to Fame Evangelical Church, Moequa. Now we'll turn to the opinion page and continue with letters to the editor. Parks move to natural areas is a giant step forward. The Herald and Review's May 23rd headline, Park, Natural Areas Planned, with its accompanying article, is music to my ears as a giant step toward wise environmental stewardship of our public property. Quoting the article, the Decatur Park District has decided to, quote, to introduce native planting to create more natural ecosystems. Eventually, once the native plantings are installed, the district would mow just a few times a year, end quote. God bless the city of Decatur for this courageous decision to allow Mother Nature at least partial freedom to provide healthy, life-sustaining ecosystems for all of us, including unborn generations. Hopefully, this recent demonstration of local political leadership will help instigate a positive change in neighborhood standards, thus providing residents the same opportunity to divert eco-damaging residential monoculture grass lawns to Mother Nature's eco-healthy, biodiverse prairie landscapes. After several years of writing letters to the editor and addressing City Council on this subject, I am much encouraged and greatly appreciative of my constitutional right to publicly advocate for this heartfelt idea. Thank you, City of Decatur and Herald and Review. Signed, Don Carmichael, Decatur. Garden Club thanks donors for their successful sale. The Garden Club of Decatur's annual plant sale was once again a huge success. Donations from the following sponsors provided us with a variety of plants and flowers for our customers. Buds and Blooms, Cedar Lake Garden, Connie's Greenhouse, West Grand County Market, Decatur Ace Hardware, Decatur Park District, Farmers Market, Kenny's Ace Hardware, Jordan's Nursery, Kroger / Airport Plaza, Kroger / Fairview Plaza, Lowe's, Mariman Herb Company, Richland Community College, Rural King, Ryder's Landscaping, Secret Garden, Shirley's Flower Shop, Svensson Florist, The Garden Path, both Walmarts, and Wethington's Fresh Flowers. A special thanks again goes to our member Betty Klein, who provided truckloads of plants dug from her gardens. A huge thanks to all of our sponsors, members, and customers. As always, the proceeds will be used to fund our many community projects and scholarships. Signed, Fran Jones, Plant Sale Chairwoman, Mount Zion. Now, thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs down to the Illinois General Assembly and Governor Bruce Rauner for failing to come up with a state budget by the Tuesday deadline. Although Rauner had a hand in the impasse, Democrats are mostly to blame for this deadlock, and at the end of a long session, Tuesday, the House and Senate Democrats were arguing with each other. It's clear that there is a lack of leadership and a lack of commitment to doing what's best for the state. Rauner calling this session a dismal failure was spot on. Thumbs up to Rabiah Hasnain for representing the area well at the Scripps National Spelling Bee in Washington, D.C. Although Rabiah didn't qualify for the finals, she also did not hear the bell, which signifies a word spelled incorrectly. The bee organizers use a spelling vocabulary test to trim the field to about 45 finalists, and Rabiah was not among them. However, one of her goals was not to hear the bell, and she achieved that. Thumbs up to the Richland Community College Board of Trustees for selecting a new college president with a process that involves the public. The board announced that its three finalists for the position last week, and each finalist will be featured in a community forum in a few weeks. Those attending the forums are being encouraged to deliver feedback, and the board will make a decision shortly after the forums. It's a good lesson that searches for such an important positions can include the public. Let's hope the Decatur School Board and the Decatur City Council is watching. Thumbs up, and welcome to Paco and Andy, the two new howler monkeys at the Scoville Zoo. The newest zoo occupants appear to be adapting well to their new surroundings after being transferred from Omaha's Henry Dorley Zoo and the San Antonio Zoo. The zoo is open 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily for its summer season. Thumbs up to the dozens of Memorial Day remembrances held throughout the area over the recent holiday weekend. Although the three-day weekend marks the beginning of summer, and the weather was definitely summer-like, hundreds of citizens took time to remember those who have sacrificed for our country. Thumbs down to those who are quick to criticize the mother of a 4-year-old child who managed to get into a gorilla enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo. A gorilla had to be killed by zoo officials to save the child. That's tragic, but the criticism being heaped upon the mother, especially on social media, is unfair. There seems to be little evidence that the mother was negligent, and anyone that has experienced 4-year-olds knows that they can escape in the wink of an eye. Now let's turn back to the money page. On Biz, Sonic Drive-In, Central Illinois Bone and Joint Center, and Curlin's Hallmark. The wait is nearly over. Sonic Drive-In will begin serving its vast selection of burgers, hot dogs, sides and shakes, cones, sundaes, slushes, and all-day breakfast to the general public at 10 a.m. Monday. "We'll be ready," co-owner Gary Haynes said, who is anticipating a huge wave of eager diners to welcome the restaurant to town. It is located at 4851 East Prosperity Place in front of the Walmart on the city's southeast side. Haynes says he has plenty of extra food on hand and a small army of workers to serve it. In preparation for a busy opening week, some of the 130 workers have been training at nearby locations, and seasoned employees from other locations are there to help too. "We know Decatur wanted it," said co-owner Kim Haynes, who will oversee the restaurant. "I hope everybody comes out to see us." Decatur officials have repeatedly stated that surveys place Sonic at the top of the many wish lists, which helped the couple decide which restaurant to pursue. For those who can't wait until Monday, there will be a special Facebook invite-only event from noon to 7 p.m. Saturday. Hours on Monday will be from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Regular hours will be from 6 a.m. to midnight Monday through Saturday and 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday. If the opening goes as well as the construction, completed in about 2 months, Gary Haynes said it could pave the way for a second Decatur location in the very new future on the north side of town. He's already prepared to be bombarded with questions about when and where. Dr. John Kafalas, orthopedic surgeon in the Central Illinois Bone and Joint Center, relocated this week from East Lakeshore Drive. Bill Kafalas, a practice administrator, said the Bone and Joint Center's new home at 2905 North Main Street, Suite G, is more spacious and offers more parking. He added that Dr. Kafalas also will continue to serve patients at HSHS St. Mary's and Decatur Memorial Hospitals in Decatur, as well as Dr. John Warner Hospital in Clinton and Pena Community Hospital. Hours are 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Friday. For more information, go to www.cibjc.com. That's Central Illinois Bone and Joint Center, so that's CIBJC.com, or call 217-425-2600. That's 425-2600. The Curlin's Hallmark greeting card and gift shop at the Cross County Mall in Mattoon is scheduled to close for business after June 19th, according to the staff at the store. The shop is scheduled to hold a 40% off sale Tuesday through June 7th, and then a 50% off sale from June 8th through the 19th, a Sunday before closing down. Curlin's Hallmark has been part of the Cross County Mall since the shopping center opened in 1971 at 700 Broadway Avenue East. The shop relocated to a larger storefront within the mall and expanded in 1999. Now we'll turn to the Life page and religion, Decatur native providing inspiration. Monica Rogers Rudd has always had a passion for youth. "I understand it's hard, and I was always the different one," said the Decatur native. Now married and living in Florida, where she's a professional model, "I have two sisters and a brother, and I was the tallest one. I wear a size 13 in women's shoes." She's a PK, pastor's kid, two times over because both her parents, William and Donna Rogers, are pastors. They have churches in Decatur and in Tampa, Florida. She has worked as a coach at MacArthur High School, assisted at Hope Academy, and at Reasonable Service before she moved to Mount Vernon and then to St. Louis to pursue a modeling career. Along the way, she married her husband, Alan Rudd, Jr., had two girls, Marissa, 4, and Alaric, 3. "Doors just started opening," Rogers Rudd said. "I went to auditions. I've been in different sitcoms and TV shows and fashion shows, and I'm a spokesmodel for my sister, Charmaine Rogers. She has her own clothing line, Flawed Clothing." The name, she said, came from her sister's view that no one's figure is perfect. "The clothing line gears toward anyone and everyone. Rogers Rudd has a shoe line, and the sisters are collaborating. Little by little, we're getting it out there," she said. In addition, she works with youth in her parents' Florida church and considers all she does ministry, and that she's trying to show young people, particularly young women, how to pursue their dreams. You can still reach for your goals, she said. Don't think that Decatur has nothing for you, or you can't become anything because you're from Little Decatur. It's just not true. You just have to keep going after it. In their church, Rogers Rudd's mother, Donna Rogers, is considered a prophetess, whom her daughter credits with being her inspiration. Long before any of it actually happened, Rogers Rudd said her mother prophesied that she would one day be on television and billboards and inspiring thousands of young people. It's that belief in her, she said, that keeps her going. Throughout Monica's life, I have often encouraged her that if she remains humble and will purpose to keep God first, she's destined for greatness, Donna Rogers said. Since Monica was a small child, she always exhibited a remarkable outgoing personality and innate creativity. Though beautiful to behold, Monica has never been conceited or condescending to others. It has been her inward expression of compassion for others that has perpetuated her outward appeal. I envision that the connections that she will garner with producers, directors, and vast celebrities will pave the way to open doors that will grant Monica the privilege to let her light shine, while drawing countless young women to embrace their own creativity and self-confidence, as well as understanding their self-worth. Monica Rogers Rudd's charisma, personality, and physical attributes are an expression of God. Pastor at Saddleback Church turned his life around, Lake Forest, California. Danny Duchene dropped to his knees as Pastor Rick Warren led a prayer over him, the recently named pastor for Saddleback Church's prison ministry. In my life is being used by God for something larger than yourself, Warren said after announcing Duchene's new job. God can cause anybody because of his can use anybody because of his mercy. Every saint has a past, every sinner a future. Duchene, 53, is a twice-convicted murderer. He was serving a double 25-year-to-life sentences in Sierra Conservation Center in Northern California for killing two men, when, with the help of a letter Warren penned to the parole board guaranteeing him a job at Saddleback, he was released December 24, 2014. Nearly 20 years into his sentence, Duchene became familiar with Warren through his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It inspired him to start a purpose-driven church at the prison to encourage inmates that their lives had a purpose. Duchene finished reading Warren's book in 2003. At the same time, Saddleback Church was launching a National Day of Purpose campaign. Duchene wanted to be a part of that, so he contacted Saddleback leaders and told them 20 inmates wanted to participate. Saddleback staff sent videos and workbooks to the prison. We had the support of the corrections director of substance abuse. He let us know that if there were enough men, we could expand, Duchene said. We thought maybe 50 men would participate in small groups, but we went door to door asking if men in the prison were interested. More than 200 guys signed up. People joined up to be part of something that broke up their routine. At the end of 40 days of purpose, Saddleback pastor Steve Rutenbauer visited the prison, and Warren came to the prison and led a service in the yard, yellow caution tape separating him from the prisoners. When Rick spoke, more men came out of their cell blocks, Duchene said. When he gave an invitation to men to come across the yard and give their lives to God. As one came, more began coming, and a very rowdy prison yard became still. Even men who didn't come forward still respected the moment. A few months later, Saddleback pastor John Baker returned to the prison and trained Duchene and others to lead Celebrate Recovery programs aimed at helping them get their lives in order. There is something about Danny that was truly authentic, said Baker, who oversees Duchene outside the prison walls. You could see the pastor's heart in him. He was doing everything he could to be a man of God. Rick turned to me and said, we've got to hire Danny. Within a year, the prison officials dedicated an entire 200-man cell block to prisoners participating in Celebrate Recovery. I think the normal prison environment teaches men to be isolated, Duchin said. They're separated from their families. They have guilt and shame of their crimes. By hoping for a changed life and not coming back, they find support of other men who want the same thing, compared to the normal environment of prison peer pressure, to do the wrong thing, to become part of a gang, or take a racist or an anti-authority perspective. After his 2014 Christmas Eve release, Duchin worked as a drug and alcohol counselor at a San Francisco methadone clinic and got married before heading to Orange County. He and his wife Susan lead a small group in their Mission Viejo, California home. Duchin grew up in Redding in Northern California. By fourth grade, he was a latchkey kid, spending summers with his siblings, little by little, with little, if any, adult supervision. His parents had nice homes and cars, and he grew up thinking that that was his goal in life. One day he said he came home and found his parents sitting with a friend with thousands of dollars in cash spread out on the kitchen table. I was told they were going on a business trip to Peru and that I'd see them at Christmas, he said. But my parents did not return from that trip. Instead, on Christmas Eve 1979, I learned my parents had been arrested in Mexico for smuggling cocaine. At 16, Duchin began using drugs, committing crimes to support his habit. By 18, he was addicted to alcohol and drugs. I struggled to keep myself supplied, he said. I was reckless and never worried about getting caught for my crimes, and I certainly didn't consider the consequences to others. All of this came to a crisis when I was part of a crime in which two men were killed. Duchin was arrested in September 1982 in Yuba City, California, after a knife fight in which he and an accomplice killed two men. Russell Duane Rule had been hired for $400 to kill someone and asked Duchin to assist him. They would split the money, according to court records. Rule and Duchin found their target in a squash field where he was with another worker. After a brief conversation, Rule and Duchin decided both men had to die, according to court records. After a struggle, the two men were knifed to death. On November 15, 1982, Rule and Duchin pleaded guilty to two counts each of first-degree murder. Duchin said his sentence was just. I feel my crime was the most horrific it could have been because it seeks to value a human being's life based on the lowly desire of alcohol and drugs, he said. At that time in my drug addiction, I didn't stop to think about what I was doing. I took personal responsibility and pled guilty to two counts of murder, waived my rights, and did not go to trial. I was sentenced to two consecutive 25-year-to-life terms with eventual possibility of parole, remorse, and purpose. Shortly after Duchin's arrest, members of the prison ministry visited the 18-year-old in Sutter County Jail and talked about purpose and redemption through Christ. It was the first time someone looked me in the eye and said, "You have to stop lying to yourself," he recalled. Duchin spent the next 20 years in three Northern California prisons before being sent to Sierra Conservation Center in Jamestown. Though Duchin pleaded guilty with a chance of parole, he said he never believed he would get out. Still, his behavior was exemplary. He passed 32 years of confinement with no disciplinary actions. At his parole hearing in December 2013, he was recommended for release. I still expected the governor to revise the decision, he said. When he didn't, and I got the memo, I was released. I felt a tremendous humility. I felt grace and mercy had been shown that I didn't expect. Getting a recommendation for Moran helped, Duchin said. It meant to the parole board and the governor that I would not only be employed for life in my appointed vocation that I feel God called and prepared me for, but also represented that I will never have to live life alone, he said. His letter also demonstrated that I must also be accountable morally and ethically to the elders, pastors, leaders, and members of Saddleback Church, and that they have agreed to be my partners and accountability support team. Though free, the parole officer will monitor Eugene's sobriety, living location, work, and other activities for up to 5 years. It isn't a crime you get over and move on, he said. My life from now on is living out the amends by serving others. It's not a duty, it's a joy and a committed privilege. As the head of Saddleback's prison ministry, Duchin oversees 900 prison programs nationwide. Inmates participate in either Celebrate Recovery or Purpose-Driven Life. He also will minister to inmates and help those being released get connected to churches in their area. Dear Abby, little can be done to reverse Mom's self-imposed travel ban. Dear Abby, my parents and I live on opposite coasts of the United States. I have visited them many times over the years. I'd like them to visit me. But my mother refuses to travel. She's healthy and not scared of flying or traveling. At first she said she didn't have the money, so I offered to pay for the ticket and lodging here in California. Her next excuse was she didn't have the time off, so I suggested she request it months in advance or travel during her company's annual 2-week shutdown. She wouldn't consider it. My sister, who lives in the South, has had the same problem with Mom. We've told her how it makes us feel and asked her why she won't travel to either of us. Mom just mumbles that she knows how we feel, but she will give no reason. Even Dad has become fed up with Mom's inertia. So he came to visit me on one trip and my sister on another. Can you offer any suggestions? Signed, Puzzled in Palo Alto. Dear Puzzled, yes, except that your mother may simply be most comfortable in her own environment and stop personalizing her refusal to travel. Enjoy your father's visits when he is able to come. You and your sister are good, caring children, but your mother has an idiosyncrasy, and you will have to accept it because you have done everything you can. Wedding gifts. Dear Abby, I am planning my wedding and it is making me more anxious than I expected. My fiancé and I live together and already have many of the items a newly married couple would usually get as gifts. So as of now, we are not registered anywhere. What is the best way to ask for monetary gifts instead? Signed, Anxious Bride in Virginia. Dear Anxious Bride, while traditionally it is not acceptable to blatantly ask for money and certainly not on a wedding invitation, some couples often open a bank account to be used for a down payment on a house or a special honeymoon in lieu of gifts. The information can be conveyed verbally or on your wedding website. Excuse me for my sniffing. Dye jobs. Dear Abby, my girlfriend bleached her hair blonde for a special event, but recently changed it back to her natural black color. She turned me on even more as a blonde, but I'm not sure how to tell her. Would I be out of line to ask her to go blonde again for me? Likes her blonde in New York. Dear Likes Her Blonde, the time for you to have raved about how much you liked her new look was before she went back to her natural color. For someone to go from dark to blonde, then dark to blonde again, can be damaging to the hair, not to mention expensive to maintain. You can ask, I suppose, but she may not be willing to go along with it, and if that's the case, you're just going to have to love her the way God made her. P.S. Oh, you could buy her a blonde wig to wear on special occasions. Thought for the day. Never be haughty to the humble. Never be humble to the haughty. That's from Jefferson Davis, Confederate President, 1808 to 1889. Today in history, it was Jefferson Davis's birthday. On June 3rd, 1808, he was born. In 1888, the poem Casey at the Bat was first published by the San Francisco Daily Examiner. This is Barbara Ridenour. That's all we have time for today. I look forward to reading with you again soon. Have a pleasant weekend and week to follow.